Blog Talk Radio.
Joe.
Hey, Bob. Sorry about that. Looks like we had a little trouble with the theme music, but everyone out there, thank you for joining us once again on your lunch break, and happy Thursday. I'm your host, Joe Perillo. I'm here with Bob. Bob just got on the line. Bob, sorry for a little bit of trouble there, but obviously it's a big week.
You know what?
For the
Well,
I certainly don't mean to do that to you, but how are you doing?
No, I know you don't. It's just, I start to panic when I can't be where I'm supposed to be, and, you know, there's no mulligan. You either get there or you don't. So, okay, here, let's move on from that.
Indeed. For those of you who don't know out there, we're using Blog Talk Radio, and once you've missed the show, you kind of missed the boat. You can't really redo it until next week.
No.
So it's always a bit of stress to make sure we actually get on time and get this thing going. But, you know, Bob, the first thing I got to touch on, you know, we talked so much last week about the Red Sox, how it was a matter of time before they clinched and how important it is for them to lock down the best record in the American League. Well, they clinched the playoffs, they clinched the division since then, and they've all but locked down the best record. I think they're up by 3 games on Detroit and 2 games on Oakland with only a weekend 3-game series left. All the teams have 3 games left. So if they win 2 out of 3, they can clinch, and that's assuming the other 2 teams even win out. But basically, home field advantage, you got to believe they're in really good position for that. And how important do you think that is for the Red Sox heading into this postseason?
Well, I think it's really important because of who they'll have to play in the first round. It isn't so much home field. I'm not sure that's such a big advantage. I mean, it is, but it's not, you know, like a deal breaker. I do think that who they get to play is more important because they're gonna play a team that's already played a series in the wild card, and apparently, you know, a lesser team. They're not gonna have to face Oakland or the Tigers, which seem to be the pick of the litter this year, along with the Red Sox. Although I think the Red Sox are better than any of those teams. It doesn't mean they're gonna win. I just think they have more talent and better organization.
Yeah, it certainly looks like the Red Sox have been the class of Major League Baseball this year. But, you know, like we've seen in so many past years, you know, once you get to the playoffs, it's shortened down. It's really about starting pitching and things like that. And, you know, Billy Beane, I think, once said it, you know, with all these years he's gotten the Athletics to play above their payroll and above their talent level is that, you know, he used an expletive, but he said basically my stuff doesn't work in the playoffs because it's so short and, you know, not always the best team wins out, you know, because it's not over the long haul of the season. With the, you know, you don't want to say the Red Sox have gotten a lot of luck this year, but things have seemed to bounce their way more than they haven't. Do you worry that maybe time might be running out on this magical season, or do you think this is a team that, you know, we didn't see the talent before the year, but now we're looking at them saying, you know, they're the best team in baseball. Do you think that they could ride this thing out to the World Series?
Boy, you'd like to think they could. You'd like to think that all these come-from-behind, walk-off-type wins you know, are there for a reason. And, I don't see any evidence to show that it won't happen, but it still is baseball. It is a game, and anything can happen. And in the past, everything that's possible has happened. So, no, you can't say they're locked by any stretch of the imagination, but I'd rather be rooting for this team than any of the others in baseball right now because I think this team's got the best chance of winning.
Yeah, most definitely. And they're up there in all the rankings and come from behind wins, close wins, things like that.
I mean,
so
they've solved the pitch. You know, their starting pitching seems to be in very good shape. Their bullpen has been kind of put in place as best it could be. You know, there are no locks in the bullpen. That's really where it's going to be won and lost. The team that has the best bullpen to perform in this postseason is the team that's going to win it. Clearly, it is about the bullpen. So they still have some questions. I just can't believe Uehara is going to be able to continue that closer role dominance, but Then again, you know, when you're a Red Sox fan and it's based on fear, you never say, you know, this is definitely going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's Boston fanhood certainly with the Red Sox based a little bit in fear.
Yeah,
in there.
You know, we've seen the fear. We know what can happen. We know it can go wrong because it has. In front of our very eyes, we've borne witness to what's possible. And on the other hand, we also know in a positive way what's possible. So that's why this makes this next couple of weeks so special.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun ride, no doubt about it. And like you mentioned, they've got some decisions to make in their bullpen, not just with their closer, but some middle relief decisions as well. And you're gonna see how they line up their starting rotation heading into the postseason. Pretty big deal, though. You know, this is their first division championship since 2007, and we all remember, obviously, they won the World Series that year. So just how important has it been, not just for the Red Sox, but for, you know, the Boston sports scene as a whole, to get the Red Sox back to playing, you know, you don't want to say championship level because they haven't won a championship yet, but the playing high-level baseball and kind of bringing that back to the city?
Joe, I think it's more important after last year to get the franchise on sound footing. How far they went or how many games they actually won this year is really secondary to how the culture was going to change. And it had to change, and it did. And I think that is the most important lesson for 2013. Obviously, it's now dessert time, and if you want to step up to the dessert bar and order every dessert that's there, and you're able to do it. Whether or not it's going to, you know, you're going to be able to ingest it all, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, this team has already acquitted itself, as has the ownership, since they followed up last year's disaster with what we have in front of us now.
Yeah, and do you think one season, I don't think I can recall it in my, you know, my years of just following sports around the country, like, one year that has totally changed a city's view on the ownership of a team. You know, last year everyone was complaining about the ownership, and now, you know, one season later, you know, they're absentee ownership, they're more worried about all their other investments, and obviously, you know, they've got their hands in a lot of things, you know, a lot of the whole Fenway Sports Group and Nesson and everything else. But do you think that this one season, I mean, I feel like it's almost totally absolved the ownership and kind of gotten Boston fans totally back on board with John Henry and company?
Well, yes. I don't know that ownership is ever home free. I think they'll always be one step away from sleeping on hot coals. I do think that management, there's a difference between ownership and management.
Yeah.
And I do think the fact that they got rid of Theo Epstein, and I say that with all due malice, that getting rid of Theo Epstein was a huge part of this rebuilding process. Mm-hmm. And it really started, as I said in the blog, last summer when they made the Dodger deal and gave those players and got the money and the wherewithal to try to restructure. Now, they shopped well, and they did well, and they pieced together everything. And they're still, you know, very high payroll. They're still pretty much where they always were. But it just seems like there are no, like, superstars that are getting paid exorbitant amounts of money like they had last year, you know. So, you know, those, all those, you know, Crawford, Gonzalez, Beckett guys gone. That started it, and you know, that's like going in. They were out, bought the Legos with that, and then they put them together. And this is where the management of the team is going to get and has gotten great credit. Brent Cherington has been given great credit for this turnaround. John Farrell on the field has been given great credit for this turnaround. On the other hand, if players don't play, you're going to lose your job. If you become a fan, you're going to end up sitting with them. So that's kind of, you know, the way the year's gone. It's been one of those years when, it all has worked. And it's in the – and I also would add that the Boston Marathon bombing was a real touch point for this franchise. And it doesn't mean to make – I'm not trying to make light of it in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying there was an emotional opportunity that the Red Sox, as an organization, seized upon because they happened to have been playing at that time.
Yeah. No, and like you mentioned in the blog, they kind of got the first public gathering after, you know, the terrible event, and, you know, Neil Diamond came, and they had the long Sweet Caroline and everything like that.
Yeah, they did, and that was a huge stepping stone for this franchise and its fans emotionally.
Yeah, most definitely.
I have no clue, Joe, as to what's going to happen. I really don't, you know.
Yeah.
Lester, all these guys, their pitching could go south in a hurry. I mean, Lackey did not look that good two nights ago, and Peavy didn't look that good last night. But, I mean, do you think Peavy gave up that home run to Helton on purpose?
I don't.
I do.
Why?
I absolutely do. I think that he grooved it to Helton first time up, let him get his home run. On his final day at Coors Field, I'm not going to give it up to him in the seventh or eighth inning. I want to give it up to him in the first, or first, I guess. And that's that. So, yeah, if Tony Helton hadn't hit the ball, but I think Peavy served it up, which just was fine with me. I thought he was going to do it at the time, and it's been done before, but last night it was fine with me.
I don't know.
They'll deny it. Of course they'll all deny it.
Yeah. Well, regardless of that or not, you know, like we've mentioned before, they've got to line up this starting pitching rotation heading into the postseason. And, you know, you've mentioned a bunch of different guys, and we've already talked about the bullpen a little bit. Who do you think, which pitcher do you think is the key guy for the Red Sox that they need to kind of, they need him to be on track and be on point once the playoffs start?
Well, it's a very, very good question. I mean, how can you avoid talking about the starting pitchers? I suppose you're going to have to go to Uehara or any of the other bullpen pitchers, Dempster, Tozawa, or maybe Workman, although I'm not sure Workman's going to be part of the equation, and I'm not sure DuBrat is going to make the postseason roster. Think of him as a bullpen guy, and there's no room for him to be a starter. First of all, it takes too long, apparently, for him to get warm, so he may not even be on the roster, as strange as that may seem. But they got to keep it slow on base game. But as a pitcher, I suppose, you know what, Dempster is like, he's like low, and the job that he did in 2004 in relief and you know, setting up the closer fault. So I think Dempster's, believe it or not, he could be a key to this whole thing. That's kind of out of the blue, but you know what? When they're going to use him and need him is going to be, I think, key times, very key times. I would rather, I don't want to see Tozawa come in and give up home runs. But it's going to be interesting, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, you know, it's always important to find that middle relief, too.
I left out Breslow. I think, let me put it on him, okay? Let me say that
put it on him.
He and Dempster are going to be the two guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like we've talked about, everyone talks about starters and the closers, but you got to get to your closer somehow. So finding some solid middle relief, and, you know, usually it's a guy that kind of gets out of a jam, breaks up a run, something like that. And you need that, you know, we always talk about timely hitting. You kind of need that timely pitching in the playoffs when your opponent gets on a little bit of a mini run and has runners on base. In the years that the Red Sox have taken home World Series, they've kind of been able to break up those runs and those kind of momentum swings against them.
We get so focused on the Red Sox that we forget the other teams that they're playing also have the same problems.
Yeah. That's true, too. I feel like all fan bases do that in all sports where, you know, no team's perfect. But you're obviously more familiar with your own team, so you know your own team's problems more than you know, say, the Tigers' problems or the Athletics' problem.
Yes.
But either way, we'll know a lot more about the Red Sox next week. Obviously, we'll be talking some playoff baseball. It'll be it'll be October by next week, so we'll be talking October baseball, first time in a while around here next week. I want to talk the end of September football with the Patriots, and my colleague at Sweet Sports, Jeremy, who joined us a couple weeks ago, said that the Patriots are the most unimpressive 3-0 he's ever seen. I would take a little bit of exception to that because I thought they did a really nice job against Tampa last week and kind of did what you're supposed to do to a bad team and just kind of put them down. But this week they're going to the Georgia Dome. They're facing a pretty good Atlanta team, although Atlanta did just lose to Miami, and we'll get to the Dolphins a little bit in a second. We don't know if Gronkowski's going to play. We don't know if Amendola's going to play. What else is new? We don't know about injuries under Belichick. That's certainly nothing new to people in this area. But I look at this. This is the first real test for New England. And, you know, with the way they've played so far, Bob, do you think this is a test that they can pass?
I think this is definitely a test that they can pass. It's definitely a test that might reach up and bite them, too. I do think they getting Gronkowski is really important because it gives them a tight end. Now, having Gronkowski out there might make Sudfeld more of an impressive target. So working together is going to help everybody. I doubt that Amendola is going to play. I don't understand what's going on there. I don't see how you can have ripped tendons or whatever he has from groin area and come out there and play. I don't get that. But you know what? I'm not a doctor. I just slept in a Holiday Inn Express last night. So it doesn't matter. So, I think it was Jerry Thornton of Barstool Sports, truly one of the great websites out there, that said they got to dig themselves out of this 3-0 hole they put themselves
Holy.
In. I think it's a pretty good line for sure. Yeah, I wish I'd have thought of it. You know, it's one of those things I wish I would have thought of it. So, having said that, Atlanta's tough down there, and Atlanta's a little desperate. That's the whole thing that bothers me.
Yeah.
I thought Tampa was desperate, but Tampa's so bad. Atlanta's desperate because they're 1-2, and then they're pretty good. They're not clearly anything like anything the Patriots have seen so far. However, you know, let's see what happens. I'd love to see Gronkowski back. It's time to put the tight end back in their offense.
Yeah, they could certainly use it. And you mentioned Sudfeld, who hasn't been, you know, as good as he looked in preseason. But obviously we knew he wasn't going to quite be that good. And, you know, not having a tight end to compliment him has been a little bit tough. And you know, the passing game up until they were pretty good against Tampa, but the passing game had been a bit of a struggle up to that point. And
Edelman has been huge, right? Edelman's been he's been their best player.
Yeah, he's been the new Wes. But
yeah, Kent State. I'll tell you what, as long as Denver continues to roll on and they keep showing Welker catching passes from Peyton Manning, I mean, that's that really does hurt. I mean, it's like over and over again. It's like picking at a wound that's not going to heal all year long unless Welker drops some big balls or gets hurt. Because and I don't wish that on him at all, either one of them. But it's going to be a wound that will not heal this year if this keeps up.
Yeah, and you know Tom Brady's watching that too, maybe on the replay, and he's
a little
bummed.
You know, that's why Amendola's got to get in there. I'm telling you, I don't know what they're going to be able to do or how they're going to do it, but I don't know. It sure looks like the trade or whatever it was, money wise, Welker for Amendola is not
going
to work out in the Patriots' favor. So.
Yeah, I mean, essentially swapping those guys. You brought in Amendola. You knew he was an injury risk. He seems to be nicked up every year. So
yeah, you know what?
This was
part
of it.
You always think that, it is part of it. You always think when you get something like that, it was in the past, that it's just not going to happen here. But guess what? It did. And it probably will continue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate. But you know what kind of jumped out to me about all this, and everyone having a different line about least impressive 3-0 start, digging themselves out of a 3-0 hole, all this stuff. You know, they can't throw. They got a receiver. They can't get held. Yeah, all this stuff. they're 3-0. I mean, how much does that tell you that, you know, when the Red Sox started this season out well, and we know how long a baseball season can be, but they started out the season so well, people were a little bit tentative, but were genuinely excited about the Red Sox. Now you got the Patriots, who have, because the Red Sox hadn't been good lately, you got the Patriots who've been dominant for the last, 12 years, dozen years, and they're 3-0 and people are down on them. How much does that tell you kind of where the psyche of Boston sports fans are right now?
It is about being spoiled, you know. It is about...
Yeah.
Part of it's not so much... Well, part of it's just plain frustration, knowing that the Brady years are closing down, and so are the Belichick years. And, you know, that's just frustration, because you now know it's like, do or die. This is the time you got to make hay, or it's all going to go bad out in the field.
Yeah, there is a definite thought that they got to... You know, if they're going to win another one, it's got to be in the next couple of years because, Brady, he isn't going to play forever. And I don't know what your thoughts on it, but do you think Belichick will keep coaching beyond Brady?
I have no idea. And the question is, will Brady keep playing beyond Belichick? I don't think they've figured out their exit strategy just yet.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting, but I cannot picture – one without the other right now. It's just
it is difficult, but it's an interesting concept, but I don't think most people want to think about it. they want to just have this team play up to their fan expectations, and that's pretty high as long as they have both of them there.
Yeah, very, very high expectations with Brady and Belichick together. That's all we got time for this week, Bob, unless you've got anything to add at the last second.
No, I appreciate talking to you. This is always good, and look forward to next week.
Most definitely, Bob. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
All right, next week we'll know a lot better than who the Red Sox are going to play a week from tomorrow where the Patriots are. So there we go.
Yeah, most definitely. We'll learn a lot in the next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
I definitely want Cleveland in here, definitely.
Well, I'm pulling for Cleveland as well, but I'm pulling for a Red Sox Pirates World Series. We'll see how it all works out.
You can't hate that. No, you can't hate that, right?
Yeah. Can't hate that.
Okay,
at all.
Man.
All right, Bob, I'll talk to you later. And thank you, everybody, for listening in at home and joining us for Catching Up with Bob Lavelle. We'll be back next week. We'll know more about the Patriots. October baseball in Boston. Have a great weekend, everybody.